From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hello, and welcome to Korean Context. I'm your host, Jenna Gibson. Today, we're going to be discussing a very important hot issue on the Korean Peninsula, which is the THAAD missile defense system. At the beginning of July, the United States and South Korea announced that they will be deploying THAAD in the South Korean city of Songju, which is in the southern part of the country. This announcement brought some pushback, both from domestic South Korean groups and on the international sphere, so we'll have a lot to talk about today. We have two of our in-house experts here to talk about this important issue. First is Troy Stangarone, our Senior Director for Congressional Affairs and Trade here at KEI, and Mark Tokola, our Vice President. Both of them have a lot of experience talking about the U.S.-Korea alliance, and we're very interested to hear what they have to say about this THAAD issue. So I'll start off with Troy. Putting aside the political situation, what is THAAD's goal, and can it actually accomplish that goal?
Well, when we think about the threat from North Korea, what we're often focused on is the nuclear threat. And, you know, they've now had four nuclear weapons tests, but they also have a very robust missile development program, and specifically ballistic missiles. That is designed to take and fill a gap in South Korea's own missile defense. The South Korean government has been in the process of trying to develop its own indigenous missile defense system, but it wouldn't come online until sometime in the 2020s at the earliest. So even as South Korea tries to develop its own missile defense technology, that would provide coverage for missiles at higher altitudes. Right now, much of the South Korean missile defense is based on things like Patriot missile technology, which are for more shorter range, lower range missiles. Now, there's been some discussion of whether North Korea would potentially use a ballistic missile against South Korea. I think that question was answered recently by a North Korean test that shot one up at a very high angle, and something that would be used if you were to try and deliver payload through a ballistic missile into South Korea. Now, will it meet the needs of South Korea? Well, right now, we're talking about the deployment of one battery. It would be in the southern part of the peninsula. Right now, it is primarily designed to protect U.S. and South Korean troops on the peninsula. There has been debate. You know, you'll hear retorts from some people say, well, if North Korea really wanted an attack, they could just take and overwhelm the system by firing, you know, thousands of missiles at a time or something like that. No one has claimed that THAAD or any missile defense system would take and be able to withstand, you know, a huge barrage of missiles being shot. But practically speaking, one, it's unlikely that North Korea could fire upwards of 1,000 missiles at a time. There's some estimates they may only have 1,000 missiles. So you have to take and put this into a realistic perspective. And more practically speaking, you know, we need to look at this in terms of the goal is to try and protect as well as possible. No missile defense system will take down every single missile shot at it, but being able to take and remove as many as possible that are incoming is better for both your defense and your ability to take and respond to the threat from North Korea.
Maybe I can add a couple of footnotes to that. One is that THAAD would be part of a layered missile defense. So it, like Troy says, designed to catch missiles coming in at fairly high altitudes. Those who would get past THAAD could then be targeted by the Patriot system. So it's a system that joins another system. It doesn't replace it. And although it's true that the basing of the THAAD battery has the effect of protecting U.S. and South Korean forces, it also protects a lot of the South Korean landmass, including the port of Busan, for example, not just the bases.
Right, so that leads me into one of the questions that has kind of come up is the fact that it's not necessarily meant to protect Seoul, which has, as we know, 50% of the population of Korea. So what is the calculus there in placing it slightly farther south? Why did they not place it closer to Seoul?
Well, one, you're going to look at this from a perspective of what are your high-value military and then your high-value civilian targets. If you're looking at North Korea's capabilities, if they're going to attack Seoul, they're most likely going to use artillery from just across the border. You know, THAAD would not be able to address their artillery. So then the question becomes, what is the most high-value target that North Korea might target with a ballistic missile? And that's most likely going to be U.S. and South Korean bases. And as Mark pointed out, I mean, the North has threatened to take and attack Busan. And if you attack South Korea's industrial heartland, either Busan or Ulsan, you could significantly damage the South Korean economy. Right now, as I said, we're only deploying one battery. You have to try and make the best judgment call on where to place it. This seems sort of like a logical place to put it in. And the threat to Seoul is most likely going to be different than the threat to other parts of the country.
I think the basing was based on purely military considerations. They decided to put the battery where it was out of range of North Korean artillery, so it's further south. And I think the reason was military, but from a Chinese perspective, if you're looking at it from their point of view, it was being placed further away from China. So if you're China and trying to decide where you want to have the battery, you're happier where it is than where it might have been.
Right, so we're definitely going to get to China in a little bit, but I want to ask Mark first. The South Korean public opinion is very divided, or at least it seems divided based on media reports. A Gallup Korea poll in early July, which was just after the location was announced, put support for the system at around 50% for it and 32% against. And we've heard about pretty big protests in Sungju, which is where the battery is going to be placed. Can you give us an idea of where the Korean public really stands on this issue?
I think it's hard to know, even with the polling data. I mean, it's worthwhile to poll, but in a question like THAAD, what are they really thinking about when they answer the question? Are they thinking about their perception of the threat to North Korea? Are they thinking about relations with China? Are they thinking about relations with the U.S.? Are they thinking about whether the system works? They've heard different things about that. Are they thinking they could spend the money on some other defense system more wisely? It's hard to try unpack that polling to really know what's going on. So that poll is one, but then if you look at other polling, you'll see support for the USRK alliance is still historically high. So it seems not to be about that. And the progressive parties have not criticized THAAD so much because of the protesters' arguments you see in the newspapers. It's more criticism of the Park administration's decision-making process. They're unhappy with how the decision was announced, how it was arrived at. They're not criticizing THAAD so much per se.
And I think, if you look at local concerns, some of this falls into the category of, whether it be where we're going to put nuclear waste facilities. Anybody who has a significant change, either in terms of like a military installation being put in near their hometown, something that they see as potentially harmful, South Korea has the same issue with where it's going to store its own radioactive waste. Generally speaking, everybody agrees, a lot of times, well, we need a defense system like that. We need to be able to store nuclear waste somewhere. Just nobody really wants it in their hometown, and so it's not surprising to see the local pushback as well.
Yeah, there's a long history of basing decisions being controversial. It was true of the Jeju naval base, too, which had nothing to do with the United States. It was local concerns. And usually there's a calculation made about whether the government can provide some benefits to the citizens of the region to offset the cost of the base. So it's negotiated out in the end.
All right, so Troy, I want to pick up on something that you said, because one of the concerns that the local population have been putting forward is the idea of some of the health concerns of placing this kind of system near their hometown. Are the health concerns legitimate? And if not, then how can the United States convince the public of this?
One of the things that they tried to do by opening up the battery in THAAD was to let reporters and other people come in from the local area, see the battery. They let them have, because one of the primary concerns had been the radiation given off by the equipment itself and noise. So what they did is let them come in. They had radiation detectors with them. The radiation levels given off by THAAD are below those that are within nature itself. So just us sitting here in the room talking, we're probably exposed to more radiation than THAAD itself is giving off. So, they've tried to take and, demonstrate that to the local population scientifically. There is a noise issue, but it's relatively contained in that if you're within about 500 feet of THAAD, it's very hard to hear and it's very noisy, but that starts quickly dissipating once you get beyond that range. The battery will be nowhere near that close to a civilian population. It's actually going to be on a hilltop, so the noise shouldn't really be an issue at the end of the day. I think it's understandable, whenever a population has something new, whenever people start talking about, well, what does this mean? What could be the potential side effects? A lot of concerns start getting raised. And I think, the U.S. military is doing a good job of going through and trying to address those one by one. And this was actually somewhat unprecedented of letting civilians this close to THAAD to come in and inspect it. So I think they've tried to go a long way to allay those fears.
One question that I had, and this goes back to kind of the public opinion and public support for deploying the system, Why do you think it took so long to deploy it? We heard in early July that they were going to actually go forward, but they have been talking about this for quite some time, and they've been talking in earnest since North Korea's fourth nuclear test in January. Why was it not something that they undertook right away after that nuclear test when public opinion was a little bit more favorable?
I'm not sure it's a nuclear test so much as the North Korean missile testing. If there's a decision like THAAD to make and there's pros and cons, it's natural to let it wait for a while before you conclude. But if you look at the pace of North Korean missile testing, including those six Musudan tests, that's the kind of threat that THAAD's designed to counter. So I think that that was probably sped the calendar up a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, there's also the fact that, you know, we like to think you can move these decisions quickly, that, you know, once a, we'll say, a general decision that something is good, that, you know, you can quickly move into the implementation stage. But there was a practical series of negotiations that had to take place, one under the terms of which that would be deployed. A decision then had to be made of where it would be deployed. And, you know, it's going to take time to move the batteries in as well. You don't want to move too quickly because you do want to try and address, now that we have a location, you know, the concerns of the local population, because you want ultimately them as much as possible to buy in. You know, you may have ultimately some people who hold out for various reasons, but you do want to try to bring the community in. So moving this at a slower pace rather than simply rushing it in is probably a wise choice.
So there are basically three parties that are pushing back against this decision outside of Korea. North Korea is the obvious one. Then we have China and also Russia. So I want to start off with China. What is their complaint about THAAD, and is it a legitimate one?
When we look at China, you know, I think there is what they have said publicly, which tends to be very vague. China has simply stuck to statements that this underlines China's own security interests. They haven't necessarily detailed those out. What most people tend to believe is that it's a couple of different things. One issue, which has been discussed a little bit more, is the idea that because of the way the THAAD radar works, that it would be able to see into Chinese installations across the North Korean border. That being said, while perhaps that is a concern of China, it's difficult to believe that with satellite, ship, and airborne reconnaissance that the United States runs, that we probably don't already have good intel on everything China has there. So while that may be somewhat concerning that, you know, this is one more way the U.S. could look in a practical sense, it wouldn't change much. That being said, some have suggested that, you know, this would undermine China's own ability to take and use its own ballistic missiles against the United States in a conflict. Well, there's a couple difficulties with that. One, because you need to focus on the North Korean territory. China's missile silos and trajectories aren't within the radar band's range, so it doesn't necessarily have much of an impact on China's own ability to take and, should a conflict break out, use ballistic missiles against the United States. The one area that is most likely China's most significant concern, which has been unstated, is that once you have THAAD deployed, there is a concern that because to make missile defense effective, there is a logic to sharing information between the United States, Japan, and South Korea, and that what this will do is over time, it will, one, bring the three countries closer together, and that, two, it will also take and eventually lead to a unified missile defense system. And a unified missile defense system is something that at some point in the future could potentially impact China's own security interests. So this is most likely what the Chinese are concerned about.
It's almost certainly the case, too, that in Beijing there's a reflection going on of why their opposition to THAAD failed. What did they do wrong? So did they overplay their hand? Did they not take South Korea's concerns seriously enough? Did they not engage Park Geun-hye early enough? So I think the Chinese are trying to look at how they mishandled the situation, because it didn't come out the way they wanted it to. And they're going to have to look, too, at what they do next. If they're too strong in their reaction against South Korea, they're likely to have the South Koreans react badly against that, too. No country likes to be bullied. So the Chinese have a longer game to play. THAAD's not fully deployed yet. They may still think there's time to find ways to oppose it. But they're going to have to reflect on their relationship with Seoul.
I mean, this is an interesting point that Mark brings up. If I had to guess, I would say that the comments made by the Chinese ambassador were probably beyond his brief. But there was a point early in the discussion where the Chinese ambassador to Seoul came out and essentially said that if South Korea did this, it would ruin the relationship with China. there was, needless to say, especially amongst some National Assemblymen, a swift repudiation of this. There was comments, which I think were justified, of how could China take and say that South Korea has to do what it believes is in China's security interests, but that China would not take into account South Korea's own security interests. You know, South Korea faces a real threat from North Korea. You know, we tend to somewhat look a little askew at it because, you know, every day the North Koreans come out and say they're going to turn Seoul into a sea of fire, they're going to blow something up or whatever. We've been fortunate they haven't. But that being said, they do continue to develop capabilities. South Korea is the logical target. We still, you know, as much as there's been peace, this still is technically a state of war. And the idea that South Korea shouldn't be able to make decisions that are in its own interest to protect itself from a real threat seems to be a step too far for Beijing to have gone. We've seen since the announcement on THAAD some similar type statements, but I would think that at some point Beijing is going to probably take and sort to roll back the rhetoric, because ultimately this is a legitimate threat. And if China does have security interests in this issue, the best way to take and address those is through a much calmer, more reasoned approach that would address both South Korean and Chinese concerns together rather than simply dismissing South Korean concerns.
And maybe it spills into the question about North Korea too, but the North Koreans have said explicitly what the purpose of their missile program is. They've said that they intend to target the port of Busan to prevent the alliance from being reinforced in the event of war. So given that, the Chinese can't argue that the North Koreans have not set up a situation which South Koreans have a need to defend themselves against a defined threat.
One of the ways in which China has at least threatened to retaliate, or I'm not sure if they've explicitly said this, but a lot of the domestic opposition within South Korea is concerned that China will retaliate in the economic sphere. And being that China is South Korea's biggest trading partner, this could be a big issue. So given what you both have just said, do you think China will actually go through with it and cause economic strain between the two countries? Do you think that they will really retaliate in this way for the deployment of THAAD?
Well, one of the challenges when thinking about this is, I mean, you know, we do have the prior example of Japan, where China, technically speaking, never put an embargo on rare earth metals, but they slowed the export of them to Japan. Now, will China take and, you know, engage in some kind of economic retaliation? They could. There have been a few things that have already happened. There was a beer festival that was supposed to take place between a Chinese and a South Korean city, and that has been canceled. We've seen some other indications of potential things along this line. Will they do anything in any substantive way, though? I'm somewhat skeptical, just because if you look at this in a practical sense, South Korea is also an important trading partner for China. Right now, we know that China is experiencing its own economic difficulties. South Korea, you know, also has seen slower economic growth. But if China were to take and move forward with explicit economic sanctions on South Korea over this, I think there are a series of potential downsides for Beijing, one of which is their own economic costs to itself. Which they may be willing to bear if they believe their security interests are important enough. But more specifically, if you take and engage in economic sanctions, one, you reinforce, I think, both to South Korea and to other countries in the region that you are willing to try and force other countries to do what you want rather than to engage with them on a reasoned discussion of how to take and address mutual concerns. And two, you do ultimately end up potentially hardening South Korean positions. You know, I'm sure Beijing's calculus would be is that, well, if we squeeze hard enough, eventually South Korea will say, okay, we give in. But the challenge is you could miscalculate. And if you squeeze, all you end up doing potentially is pushing South Korea into a harder position on THAAD and other things. And once you've engaged in these kinds of tools, if South Korea decides to take and maintain the course, and ultimately comes out of it okay, then next time that China tries to do this, there will be even less of an incentive for Seoul to take, you know, that type of threat seriously, because they'll simply say, you know what, the Chinese have tried this before. We know we can, you know, weather this out. We know we can look to other markets. And that's the other downside, is that if you're a South Korean investor who's potentially looking at building a plant in China, and suddenly the Chinese start engaging in this kind of behavior, Vietnam, other Southeast Asian countries start looking a whole lot more appealing. So I don't know that there's much upside here for the Chinese. So that's why I'm somewhat skeptical. Doesn't mean they won't do it, but I don't necessarily think it would be in their own interest.
China faces some constraints. They do belong to WTO, which means they can't retaliate any way they like in South Korea. So there are limits to what they can do legally. And as Troy points out, there are some actual practical constraints, too. They value South Korean products. Chinese consumers like them. There are many of them. So trying to interfere, that's difficult. The rare earth case is an interesting one because that was a case where people had understood that China was trying to retaliate economically against Japan. But people looked at that case in depth and found that very little actually happened. The only drop in Chinese exports of rare earths were ones that were happening anyway. The trend was downward. And the people who bought rare earths had lots of stockpiles. So in the end, it was talked about as an economic retaliation, but there wasn't much there. And it may be true in the cosmetics case, too, where there are some newspaper headlines about the Chinese inspecting South Korean cosmetic products imports more rigorously, trying to obstruct them, and even telling Chinese consumers to be careful what they buy when they're visiting Seoul, because they might be counterfeits, and who knows what's in the counterfeits. But the Chinese seem to have been trying to move on cosmetic standards and safety anyway. That started before the THAAD deployment. So maybe it's a case where the Chinese trying to take advantage of something that was happening in any case and implying this part of the THAAD cost. I don't think the Chinese can do nothing. I mean, having said there'd be consequences, they probably have to show some consequences, but they may end up being more symbolic than real.
One thing that I found really interesting is, you know, North Korea, of course, they're not happy about this. China makes a good amount of sense. But apparently Russia has been quite angry about this as well, even to the point where China and Russia signed a joint statement to the UN protesting the deployment of THAAD in South Korea. So what is Russia doing getting involved in this? Do they have legitimate concerns about this system as well?
If you go all the way back to the Cold War, Russia has always had concerns, have been against missile defense technology. You know, when we decided to take and roll out a defense system in Europe to protect against potential Iranian ICBMs, the Russians strenuously advocated against it. They still, from time to time, try to pressure the countries that host the radar facilities. So it's not necessarily surprising that, you know, if U.S. missile defense systems are expanding, that Russia would push back. For them, while they do have some interest, you know, in the Pacific, I think it's more broadly an ideological one for them and a broader opposition to an expansion of U.S. missile defense systems in general rather than something specific to, you know, South Korea.
And then getting to the elephant in the room of North Korea, what has been their reaction? Have they done anything since the announcement to kind of protest this decision?
I think, you know, when we look at North Korea, a lot of what they've said, you know, I mean, they've talked about retaliating against it, attacking the site, these kinds of things. I think there was one comment about South Korea's decision to deploy THAAD was like tantamount to starting a thermonuclear war, which is interesting given that that is a defensive weapon and that they're the ones with the nuclear weapons. So, I mean, you know, we've seen a lot of the over-the-top rhetoric that I think you would expect from North Korea on this.
So, of course, the final player in this is the United States. What is the U.S. perspective on all this backlash, though? And especially, I'm thinking, number one, what has been their response to the South Korean domestic protests? And then number two, how have they been reacting to China, Russia, North Korea on the international stage protesting against this? How has the United States been responding to those?
Yeah, I think we don't know quite yet. It's a little bit too soon to tell. I mean, if the protests have run their course, and now they're going to stay at the same or lower level, I think it's a little surprising there's not been more opposition to it. There might have been prediction of a stronger South Korean reaction against the THAAD among elements of the population. So we'll see. Or it could be the beginning of a ramped-up campaign. We'll see what happens next year during the presidential campaigns in South Korea. They're having elections in December of 2017 for a new South Korean president. And whether they try to use this as something to generate political interest during the campaigns, I think, is yet to be seen. We just don't know.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of bases here. We've talked about China, Russia, United States, South Korea. Anything else that you think is important for our listeners to know about this issue?
Maybe back to that last point, a little bit about the U.S.-South Korean relationship. The other thing THAAD show is that the U.S.-ROK military alliance is a complex and growing one. It's getting more capable and able to protect South Korea in kind of new and different ways, looking at asymmetrical threats. So I think that this should help reassure people in South Korea concerned about the U.S. commitment to the defense of the Republic of Korea. The U.S. is showing that the defense is a long-term project. We're still committed to it. It's not going anywhere. The defense status of the alliance remains.
I completely agree. I think, you know, the deployment of THAAD is an important step to take and show our commitment to defending South Korea. But, you know, more broadly, you know, THAAD is something that's being deployed because North Korea is taking and continuing to develop its nuclear and missile programs. And if we're going to address that threat, we're going to have to do a combination of different things. You know, one of those is to improve our defensive capabilities against the North, which THAAD plays a role in. One of which is to continue to economically isolate the North Koreans from the rest of the world to pressure the regime. But ultimately, we're going to also have to take and combine, you know, defensive measures and economic measures with diplomatic measures. And so it's important to keep in mind that, you know, THAAD is part of a broader picture in taking and dealing with the threat from North Korea.
Okay. I like that as a wrap up. So thank you two very much for joining us and for sharing your expertise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all for this episode of Korean Context. As always, thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please remember to subscribe on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts, and we'll see you here again next week.